Awesome. So did you guys know that today is the first SOZO service of 2019? So last week we had Generations Collide, so technically this week is the very first SOZO service of this year. So I'm super excited, I'm super pumped, and I'm super honored that I get to speak in the very first service of the year. So I just feel like we should just hit the ground running. I just want to share with you guys what God's been putting on my heart lately. I've said this plenty of times before, but people ask me, you know, Shayla, how do you know what to speak on? Or, you know, like, how does God, you know, tell you, like, what to preach on? I just say, I just repeat what he's telling me, to be honest. So anytime like, I'm ripping on you guys, like saying like, we got to do this and we got to do this for this year, Holy Spirit ripped me first, okay? Like, I'm just letting you know, I'm preaching to myself, and everything that I feel like God's downloaded into me into this brand new year of what we need to step into as a youth group, as a church, as you individually, this is something Holy Spirit's been hitting me with, okay? So I just want to share that with you guys, and that video touched on it, and re-identifying with how you see yourself in 2019. Have you guys ever noticed that there's lots of pastors, prophetic ministers, and they would say, 2019 is the year of breakthrough. 2019 is the year of healing. 2019 is the year of blessing. It's always interesting to me, and I actually learned this from Russell. How do you guys remember Russell from summer camp? I encourage you guys to make sure that you're following people who are going to pour into your life, into your newsfeed. So I'm following Russell on Facebook, following him on Instagram. So your favorite preacher, your favorite minister, your favorite worship leader, you should be following them on Facebook, Instagram, whatever it happens to be, because they're going to pour into your life. And so I don't know about you, but I don't want my feed to be filled with a bunch of junk. I want my feed to edify me. I want whenever I go on my Instagram, I'm getting blessed. And it's like, oh, that's a good word. That's a good verse. That's a good scripture. But if you're if you say, oh, well, it's going to mess up my ratio of followers to following, and if I follow my favorite pastors, then I'll be following, okay, well, maybe you should unsubscribe to some celebrity trash that you're following right now. If you unfollow some trash, maybe you'll have room for you to go ahead and not mess up your ratio, okay, if that really matters to you. But the point is that you should be making sure that your feed is constantly filled with truth, because that truth will hit you right when you need to hear it. One of my favorite, I'd consider him my mentor when it comes to like just the words that he gets. It's so good. It's always blessed me. Landon Shaw. I follow Landon Shaw, and there'll be times when he'll post something, and that ministers to me on such a deep level. And I've told this to Leanna before. Like, I feel like the Holy Spirit rats me out to Landon Shaw, because whenever I need a good word, he posts something like that. So make sure you guys are following men and women of God who are going to pour into your life. Amen. With that being said, like I was saying, I was following Russell Johnson. And Russell Johnson said this. He's like, isn't it interesting that we always have people saying it's the year of blessing, it's the year of breakthrough, it's the year of, you know, all these good things. But you know what the truth is? It's been the year of those things since the day that Jesus rose from the dead. You don't need 2018, 2019. Oh, now it's 2019. Now I can get my breakthrough. Please, girlfriend, you could have gotten your breakthrough last year. You just didn't want to press into it. You could have gotten your healing last year, but you weren't believing enough because you were like, oh, I don't really know. Maybe, you know, what? It all up to you. 8 and 9 doesn't really make a difference. 9, 10, whatever. 2050, you could be the same person you want to be if you want to keep living your ugly life the way you want to live it. Or you could say, no, 2019 is the year for me to step into what Jesus did for me 2,000 years ago on the cross. Amen? So this year is nothing special. At the same time, I want to talk about, as we're going into this year, let's go ahead and look at ourselves and examine what we can do differently. So maybe 2018 was an awesome year for you. Awesome. Good. Let's make 2019 even better. Maybe 2018 sucked for you. Let's make 2019 even better. Amen? Either way, I don't know about you, but I want my life to be better this year than it was last year. And like I said, maybe yours was horrible, maybe yours was okay. Either way, we're looking forward, we're pressing on, and I'm looking forward to sharing with you guys what God's been pouring into me and what I need to do in 2019. And I'm not preaching anything to you that the Holy Spirit is not working in me, okay? So if I say something that offends you, I got offended first before you heard it, okay? So don't worry about it. But I just think that, you know, when 2019 people get pumped, what do? Get a gym membership, you know, they're like, they throw out all the junk food in their house. As if, you know, January is any more special than November. Sister, you could have gotten a gym in November, but for some reason, people like this idea of a fresh beginning, and they like a fresh start, and people want to be motivated, you know. In 2019, people will, you know, subscribe to fitness Instagrams, because you want to see all those people getting ripped, getting buff, getting swole. Because when you see that, you're like, oh, I need to go to the gym. Or maybe you subscribe to a YouTuber who's a motivational speaker. We want this motivation as we're going into 2019. But I always say the body of Christ does not need motivation through a hype sermon. We need some inspiration from the Word of God. We need a revelation of who God has called us to be and where we're going. Because if you don't get that, then it's just like anything else. You're going to do it for a month, and then you're going to get off the diet. Motivation only lasts so long, but character will help sustain you through the rest of the year. And that's all going to be found in inspiration through the Word of God and a fresh revelation of what God is speaking to us. So in order for us to step into that inspiration and that revelation of what God wants for us, we need to look into His Word. We need to look at what He's saying. You'll never change if you don't look into the Word of God. If you're like, I just want to be, people say this all the time, I want to be the person that God's called me to be. Okay, well, are you reading your Bible? Are you watching more YouTube and you're watching more TV and you're watching more filthy music videos, whatever it happens to be that you like to watch, Netflix, Hulu, whatever. There's a million of them that I could name right now. Amazon Prime. But the point is that whatever you're putting in is going to come out. That's a biblical principle that we see all throughout the Bible. So if you're like, oh, I just want to be a man of God, I just want to be a woman of God, okay, well, then start putting it in, and it'll come out of you naturally. And you'll go into the 2019 person that God called you to be, amen? So anyways, today's message, we're going to talk about a little bit about what that guy mentioned earlier. And I want to go ahead and go into a story that I heard, and I thought it was funny. There was a guy in a road, and he was walking through this road in a farmland, and he finds a nest, and it has an egg, and it's a pretty big egg. He's like, oh man, if I leave it out in the middle of the road, it'll probably die. So he picks up this egg, and he puts it in a chicken's hen, and he just lays it with the rest of them, hoping that, you know, it'll survive. Well, that egg hatches, and it ends up being an eagle, and this eagle starts living amongst these chickens. And so therefore, he's got a mama hen, he's got a daddy rooster, and they're teaching him how to cluck, they're teaching him how to eat chicken food, they're teaching him how to just live amongst the chickens. And so he begins to see himself as a chicken. And years pass, and now this eagle is an old man. He's an old, old man eagle. And he's living on this farm with all of his chicken friends. And he looks up one day, and he sees this beautiful, beautiful bird soaring in the sky. And he's like, whoa, I've never seen anything that flies that high. We only flap a couple inches off the ground. Like, what's that guy doing? What kind of chicken is that? And he turns to his friend, and he's like, what is that? He says, that's an eagle. And the eagles can soar, and they have the ability to fly high in the sky. But we can't do anything like that because we're just chickens. My question to you is, are you an eagle and you're living amongst the chickens this year? Because I think some of you guys are hanging out with too many chickens, and now you're seeing yourself as a chicken when God's called you to be an eagle. God has called you to soar higher. God has called you to be the person that you're meant to be in 2019, but you can't be that person if you keep aligning yourself with the chickens that are around you that are telling you, you're just a chicken, bruh. Sorry, you can only go a couple inches. You can flip, you can flap, and you can have this stupid chicken bird seed. But if you were an eagle, you could hunt for your own food. And you could fly high above the sky. You could have better vision. You will live and die a chicken if you choose to be that. But if you choose, what does that look like for you? Maybe you see yourself as, oh, I'm not really, I'm just mediocre, you know. Like, I'm just no big deal. You know, I want to go back to college and get good grades, but, you know, I kind of got all the C's and D's through high school, and I think that's all I'm going to go for. Whatever you decide to settle with, you can live and die in that, girlfriend, boyfriend. Or, I don't know about you, but I want to ask the God of the universe who I'm called to be, what I really am. Because if you live amongst the world will tell you just to settle for what you got. But God will call you higher. God will call you to new places. Anyways, I want to talk about some people in the Bible who only saw themselves as the bare minimum when God called them to be more. Look at all these chickens. If you open up the Bible, you're going to find that. Seriously, I'm just letting you know. It's about renewing your mind. if you look in the Word of God, actually, let's pull up some of those scriptures right now. If we look in the Word of God, we're going to find verses telling us how important it is, just like that man said. And here's the crazy thing. A lot of the time, science will back up the Word of God. And it takes a little bit of time for science to back it up, but then they find out, oh, that actually makes sense. You can renew your mind, and science is showing us that you can actually rewire how you see yourself if you continue to, like he said, I'm ruggedly handsome, I'm ruggedly handsome, I'm ruggedly handsome. It sounds stupid, but you're ruggedly handsome. And if you rewire your mind, the Bible says in Proverbs that as a man sees himself, so he is. So you can begin to see yourself as something different other than what other people have spoken over you. Don't let people's words that have been spoken over you define you. Why don't you begin to ask your leaders who you are? Why don't you begin to ask God who you are? Because I think you might be a little surprised the different words that you're going to be getting from your teachers or from your parents, whatever, whoever spoke over you. Ask men and women of God and ask God himself. I think you'll be surprised how opposite, polar opposites you might hear. Anyway, let's go ahead and look at those scriptures. We're going to zoom through these really fast, but go ahead and write them down. Let's go to, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is any worthy of praise, think about these things. How many times do we have a bad day and then constantly the whole day you're just thinking my life sucks, my work sucks, you know, whatever it happens to me, I hate my job. If just letting you guys know, you will hate your job if you keep telling yourself I hate my job. Or you can renew your mind and say, you know what, I don't really like where I'm at right now, but I'm going to use this motivation of not really being comfortable where I'm at to push me to where I'm supposed to be. It's all about perspective. It's all about what light you decide to put it in. But if you call yourself a Christian, what you need to do is what the Bible says, is that if it's not of excellence, if it's not pure, if it's not lovely, if it's not worthy of your time and your effort, push it out. It's trash, exactly. Put it in the gutter, just like Pastor Drew said on Sunday. Take out the trash. Let's go ahead and go to Romans 12, chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This is the part I want us to really look at. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Highlight this. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. You begin to test the words that are spoken over you. Is this the will of God in my life to believe that I'm stupid? Is this the will of God in my life to believe that I'm illiterate? Is this the will of God in my life to believe I can only do the bare minimum? Because if you begin to test those words that are spoken over you, and really not just spoken over you, a lot of us are older and we're getting out of toxic environments with our, you know, maybe with bad parenting or whatever it happens to be. A lot of us, we go into our adulthood and we begin to tell ourselves these things. So a lot of the time, it's yourself. Isn't it interesting that we always want to believe the negative about ourselves, but then when someone speaks positive, it's so much harder to really take it, really accept it. Someone tells you you're stupid, and you're like, yep. But someone tells you, well, you're really smart, and you're like, it's kind of hard for me to take that. It's like for every 5 bad words spoken over you, you know, you need like 20 to make up for it. It's sad, but it's true. We tend to automatically not give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. And what I'm saying is that when we go into 2019, let's align ourselves with how God sees us. Let's align ourselves with who we were meant to be, not how we currently see ourselves. You want to push yourself to be better in 2019? Start seeing yourself as better. Start seeing yourself as smart if you want to get smarter. Start seeing yourself as beautiful if you want to have more confidence. Speak those words over yourself. And it talks about renewing of the mind, which is actually speaking that out loud. The Bible says that our words have life and death, blessing and cursing. I want to speak blessing over my life. I want to speak blessing over other people's lives. So that I want to make it easier for people to align with how God sees them. Like, I want it to be like, if there's someone who's insecure in this room, I want to help them to be confident. Because it's my job as a Christ follower to help see themselves as God sees them, not make it harder for them. So if you're a Christian, you better make sure you're speaking words of life. Make sure that you're speaking blessing over people. Make sure you are the person who is encouraging. If you're the person who is like, oh, I wish I had more people when I was 13, 14 years old encouraging me, you be that person to the other 13 and 14-year-old that is being raised up in the church right now. You be the person that maybe you needed when you were struggling as a teenager. You get what I'm saying? Anyways, let's continue on. I want to go ahead and talk about some people in the Bible who didn't see themselves the way that God saw them, and it almost caused them to not step into the calling that God had for them. For one, there's Gideon. You guys know the story of Gideon, right? God calls Gideon to set battle and to help make sure that the people of Israel are going to win the battle. Gideon tells God, when the angel comes to Gideon and says, hey, I've called you to lead, Gideon tells the angel, what are you talking about? I am out of all the tribes, my tribe is the worst one, and I'm the least in my tribe. If Gideon would have continued believing that, would he have led the Israelites into victory in the battle? I don't know. I don't think he would have. He had to realign how he saw himself with what God said about him. David, remember when they're trying to find the king of Israel? They're like, we need to find a new king. Well, the prophet goes and he says, bring me all of your sons. Bring me all of your sons. And he brings out the sons. He brings out several of them. David's not there. Why? Because they thought David was the least likely one. So they didn't even bring him out. Imagine what a letdown that is. You know, imagine this. Your mom and dad have been told by the mayor, hey, we want to reward one of your kids with like the coolest, awesomest reward of the city. And they don't bring you out because they thought there's no way this one's going to earn it. It's probably one of the other siblings, but not this one. Did you guys know that it's in that context that the scripture has said that man looks at the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart? God speaks to the prophet, and he looks at David, and he's like, it can't be this guy. This guy smells. This guy's been out with the sheep all day. He's like one of the youngest, littlest ones. There's no way that this guy is the king of Israel. And God tells the prophet, essentially, he says, shut up. You look at his outer appearance, but I'm looking at his heart. Why don't you stop looking at your outer appearance and begin to see yourself the way that God sees you? And it might not even be at that point in time, was David a king? No, he did look like a scrawny little shepherd boy. But in the future, God called him to be a king. God called him to be a leader. So maybe right now, you know, you're in high school, your grades aren't all that awesome. Or maybe you're working a job that's minimal wage. And you're like, ugh, this kind of sucks. Okay, well, begin to see yourself where you could be. Because that's how God sees you. God doesn't see you for who you are right now. God sees you for who he's called you to be in the future. Amen. And then the number one person I want to look at is Moses. Because Moses, you guys know the story of Moses, right? You guys all saw the DreamWorks film? Okay, cool. Well, long story short, Moses runs away from Egypt. He's essentially an Egyptian prince, and he runs away, and he's living his own life. He's forgotten about that. He's got a family now. He decides to become a shepherd, and God calls him out and says, Moses, I've called you to go back to Egypt. Think about, I don't know if you guys know this. Egypt was the most powerful nation in the world at that time. Biggest army, most finances, everything. And God calls out to Moses and says, hey, Moses, I want you to go back to the most powerful. I mean, think about this. That's like a random person coming up to America right now and saying, hey, and telling America what to do by themselves. It's like, what are you doing, bruh? We're the biggest nation in the world. You can't stop us right now. Actually, it's probably China right now. Who knows? Anyways, the point is that God calls Moses to step out, I'll get this powerhouse. And Moses is like, what? Now let's look at Moses right now. Moses is a runaway. He's a disappointment to his country. Disappointment. He's a runaway. Also, I don't know if you guys know this, Egyptians were bougie. Egyptians back in the day did not work with animals. They had slaves to do that. So not only is he a runaway and a convict and a disappointment to the nation of Israel, but he's also a shepherd boy now. And they're going to think, dude, you're dirty. Like, you're gross. Like, we don't even take care of our own cattle. You left Egypt to go take care of cattle? who are you? That's the reality in that moment. In that moment, he's a dirty convict runaway, disappointment. Oh yeah, and he also has a stutter. But what does God do? God says, I know how you see yourself right now, Moses, but that's not how I see you. What I see right now is a leader. What I see right now is someone who's gonna lead millions out of slavery and bring them into freedom. But he needed to align himself with how God saw him. That was the beginning of the Israelites being set free. And were they not set free? They were set free, but it was because of Moses stepping out in faith and saying, oh, this is uncomfortable for me. God's not always going to tell you to do something that's very comfortable, guys. You're going to have to step out sometimes. Maybe God tells you need to start saying, I'm going to go to college. I'm smart. I'm going to get through it. And in the moment, you're going to be like, oh, I don't feel that. But you need to start speaking it, and you need to start seeing yourself the way that God sees you. And like I said, if you're not sure how God sees you, ask godly leaders to evaluate you. Go into your private room and say, God, help me to redefine who I am in you. Help me see those things. Amen? I went ahead and I wrote some of the things down that we see sometimes when we look in the mirror. Sometimes we see ourselves and we're thinking, oh man, I'm too shy to step out of my box. I'm too dumb, I'm too insecure, I'm inarticulate, I'm a failure, I'm too short, I'm untalented, I'm unwanted. All these things. But you know what the truth is? If you speak those words over yourself, then you know what we really should be doing? We should be saying, yes, I know I'm naturally shy, but that's not going to cause me to not walk out God's will for my life and make beautiful connections with people. I'm not going to let my natural shyness to cause me not to be able to make connections with people. I know that I see myself as dumb, but I'm not going to let that hold me back from continuing to my very best this semester to hit honor roll. Making to set goals for yourself. I'm going to hit honor roll. I'm going to make new connections. Oh, I have natural insecurities. Well, welcome to America, okay? Everyone does, okay? Everyone has insecurities, but don't let your insecurities cause you to walk away from your confidence. Don't let you being, oh, I got a stutter. Okay, well, you think God can't use you even with a stutter? Begin to see yourself the way that God sees you. And when you look in this mirror and you continue to say, oh, this is what I see. I think I'm alone. I think I'm untalented. I think I'm a failure. I think I'm not going to be successful in life. God says, stop seeing yourself the way that you see yourself. Stop putting all these names and these labels on yourself and begin to align with how I see you. Because I see you as something different than what you see right now. And you might not see it right now, but begin to ask the Holy Spirit, God, how do you see me? How do you want me to be in 2019? Honestly, I'm preaching to myself. I was feeling, in 2018, I was feeling some insecure about some things. And I closed my eyes and I was like, God, I saw that video and I was like, God, what do you have for me to speak over myself in 2019? And he gave me two words. I'm not going to share them with you because they're kind of personal. But he gave me two words that I need to begin to speak over myself. So when you wake up in the morning, say, Holy Spirit, I am this and this. Or I am, maybe it's just one word. Whatever it happens to be, give yourself a new name in 2019. I don't know if you guys know this, but there was a time in the Bible, where people's names meant something. It wasn't just, oh, Ashley, you know, Brittany, every other white girl name you can think of, you know. But it wasn't just some random name. When you were given a name, your name actually had meaning to it. And so for God to rename someone, which he did often, was a big deal. I'm so glad that we don't name ourselves the names that we, like back in the day, like for instance, Jacob and Esau. When Jacob came out of the womb, he was holding on to his brother's heel because they were twins. And he was named Jacob, which means the one who holds on to a heel. So every time it was like, one who holds on to heel, come for supper. One who holds on to a heel, come on, take out the trash. I'm really glad that we don't name each other based on stuff like that. Otherwise, I'd probably be one that's being choked by mother's umbilical cord because they had to do a C-section on me. Thank you for not naming me that, Mom. I'm so glad. But the point is that there were so many times in the Bible when God would rename them from what they were to what he's called them to be. So Simon was renamed to Peter. Simon was just called, used to be called Simon, which meant snub-nosed. He used to be called snub-nosed. And then God says, you know what, Simon? I'm going to Jesus tells him this. Jesus says, I'm going to rename you, and your name's going to be Peter, which means the rock. And I'm going to build my church with you. You're going to be the rock that continues to move on as we put the church into place. What about Saul? Saul was living his life on his own, thinking he was doing the will of God as he was slaughtering Christians. Saul meant inquired of God. Well, he was not inquiring of God. He was doing his own will. He was slaughtering Christians. And then Jesus said, comes to him in a vision, blinds him, and then renames him to Paul and says, now your name is humbled. Now your name is humbled. And now, I thought that was so interesting because Paul keeps that name. So like every single time that someone called him, he was like, I'm humble, I'm humble. My name is Paul, I'm humble. That's what Jesus has given me. I used to be something old, but now I'm new. Maybe you need to rename yourself in 2019. You saw yourself as a certain image, but let God rename you. And then Abram to Abraham. Abram was just called, you know, high father. That's what Abram meant. But God said, you know what? I don't want you to just call yourself father. I'm going to rename you to Abraham, which means father of many nations. I want you to get your expectations up higher. I want you to go ahead and step out from what you think you're able to do. So maybe for you, okay, I'll tell you guys one of mine, okay? I'll tell you one of mine. So he said, well, I'll tell you both, whatever. So I was feeling kind of like a loser. I was like, you know, like, I feel like, you know, I'm not where I want to be in life. I wish I had my own house, and I wish I was married, and I wish I was further, and I started to feel kind of like a failure. And I was asking God, like, God, help redefine me into who you call me to be. And one of the words he gave me was successful. So now every day I'm speaking over myself, I'm successful. And then I was like, okay. And then I was feeling insecure in my outer appearance. And so I was like, you know what? Okay, successful and beautiful. And God corrected me. I swear this is the truth, okay? I don't want to call myself this, but I do. Because the Holy Spirit corrected me. And he said, no, not successful and beautiful. Successful and gorgeous. And I was like, thank you, Holy Spirit. So now I'm waking up in the morning. And I'm saying, I'm looking at myself in the mirror and I'm saying, I'm successful. And I'm gorgeous. I'm ruggedly handsome. Whatever you need to speak over yourself. And you need to stop identifying with what you see in the mirror now. Saying, God, I want to be who you've called me to be. I want to be the person that you've called me. Even if it's not what I see right now. And rename myself. So I know this is kind of crazy. But I think what we need to do in 2019... Or 2019. We need to leave 2018 in the past, and we need to break some of the stuff that God's spoken over us. So if you feel shy and you're like, oh, I can't make connections, begin to say, no. That means that just because I feel shy, it doesn't mean that I can't make connections. Just because I feel insecure doesn't mean I can't be confident. Just because I feel dumb doesn't mean I can't go to college. Just because I feel like I have a stutter so people are gonna make fun of me, doesn't mean that I can't speak out. Whatever it happens to be, you begin to ask God, and you take whatever you got, whatever word you got, and just begin to break what you've seen in 2018 and speak who you really have seen. You know what? Hey, I'm successful and gorgeous, thank you, Jesus. And hey, I am ruggedly handsome. I want to take this moment for us just to go ahead. You guys can go ahead and turn off the lights. I want us to take this moment and you begin to ask the Holy Spirit, how am I called to see myself in 2019? How are you called to see yourself in 2019? I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak to every single person in this room. At least one word, maybe two, maybe three. But at least one word of how you are called to align with your calling. One name. He's renaming you tonight. He's renaming you tonight. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us, that you would show us our calling, our destiny for 2019. Holy Spirit, come into this place, God, and speak to your youth. Speak to your people how you see them. In Jesus' name, I pray. Tyler, go on and lead us into worship and just begin to ask the Holy Spirit what he has for your name in 2019.
Wherever I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so kind to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life. You have been so, so good to me. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99, and I couldn't earn it. Still you give yourself away, and so the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. It's all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It's all it chases me down, fights till I'm found.
One last part in the story of Moses as we close up tonight. If you guys can go to in the back, can you put up Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 17? I want to read this to you guys. It says, then Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes them mute? The deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say." But he said, "O Lord, please send by the hand of whoever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet with you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. I want to end on that point because it's interesting, because God tells Moses, hey, I want to use you, dude. I want to use you to speak. You think God didn't know he had a speech impediment? Of course God knew that. And God gave the option to Moses, like, hey, I want to speak through you. But instead of Moses saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, that I'm going to do this with you, he says, God, I don't, send someone else. Like, you can use me, but get someone else to speak. And you know what? God literally gets angry and says, fine, bro, fine. We'll use Aaron. But isn't it interesting? Originally, he wanted to use Moses. So my point to you guys today is, if you want to continue seeing yourself the way you did in 2018, you want to continue putting bad names on yourself, God will lift up his hands, just like he did here, and say, okay, fine, I'll use someone else. But I wanted to use you. Fine, you know, I'll help someone else get through college, but I wanted to help you. Fine, I'll let someone else minister to your classmate, but I wanted to use you. Fine, I'll let someone else minister to your family who needs to be saved, but I wanted to use you. So do not let 2019 go by that you don't rename yourself and you don't say, God, I know in and of my own strength I'm not going to do it, but I need you. So you tell me what my name is.